Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. We continuously update that website where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, which is here in Buffalo, New York, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing cost for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. And I would add here quickly that yesterday was announced that we are at near historic rates. And in spite of that, it's kind of interesting, the spread between the federal funds rate through the Federal Reserve and mortgage rates is also quite big, which is unusual. So rates are low and could go lower, but I wouldn't wait if I were you. This is an exceptional time right now. Mortgage applications are way up year over year, and I encourage you to take advantage of that tremendous opportunity, whether you're considering buying a home or refinancing the one you have. And while you're at it, call Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700, and ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's market, where we have a shortage of inventory, you'll want to make sure that your offer is as competitive as possible. And the most competitive is obviously cash, but the second most, and I think right up there and equal to, if you can educate, your agent can educate the listing agent appropriately, is a pre-purchase commitment, which we can issue to you at no cost or risk. And that's only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And while you're at it, you're going to get personalized, customized service that's going to knock your socks off. And check out that low rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even through our links out to Phoenix, Arizona, and also Boston, Massachusetts. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800, and that's our local number here in Western New York. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any of the brokers. And, you know, I drive by real estate signs. I might be acutely aware of them, but I see signs that I don't know how a consumer could possibly understand. There's photographs, there's telephone numbers, there's websites, there's 14 things on the sign. So you'd have to stop and take a picture of it with your phone and then maybe follow up on later. Just forget all that. Just dial 716-631-4800, get the street number of the house, that's all you need to know, and our system will take care of the rest. And it's faster than going to your website. And I would like to remind our listeners that this is a interesting time in the real estate market for a number of reasons, part of which we'll cover today. But the fact of the matter is there's a shortage of homes on the market. And when you've got a shortage of supply and excessive demand for anything, what generally happens is prices go up. So if you're thinking about selling your home, you may want to think real hard about selling it right now, because I've never seen in my life in this business a better time to list a house and sell a house than right now, because of the fact that the demand side is so strong. So consider that as you look around your house and decide whether it's right for you and your family at this point in time, and maybe it might be time to look for something new. Call us at 631-4800 to learn more. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans, and we look forward to seeing them all in action very soon. And this is broadcast live on WBN 930 AM. And if you'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and *930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. So join us today at Our House. Or you can text us at 30930. And I'm hoping that you'll take advantage of one of those opportunities. If you have thoughts on what we're going to be talking about today or anything else relative to real estate, we're here for you. We do have a very special show for you today. My guest remote in observance of social distancing is the CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara, Mr. Tom Kacharski. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I just got back from a walk with Tara and my son's dog, Bo, and Lee and Millie for the morning.
I heard the dog barking, and my son-in-law asked me, "But did Tom and Tara get a dog?" And I said, "Well, that maybe in self-defense because of all the dogs around them. I don't know, but anyway, I was
3 months old, and I'm reminded of what a puppy is. So, yeah.
Well, good luck with that. Anyway, Tom, you lead one of the most important organizations for the economic future of our community, and that's Invest Buffalo Niagara. Take us back in history. Tell us about how the organization got started, how you got back here to town. I know you started here in town, your life here in town, but you went away for a while and came back. So tell us a little bit about the organization and how you got back here.
Yeah, so real quick for the listeners, we were a little late to the game. Most regions, metropolitan areas in the country had a group like Invest Buffalo Niagara. At the time, it was the Buffalo Niagara Enterprise, and basically it was the genesis of in the 80s and 90s. I have to remind a lot of the listeners that we were hitting a lot of speed bumps on our way, and had traditional industry leaving, and not a lot of new industry clusters were finding the area. And so a bunch of business leaders and political folks, leaders got together and said, you know, we need to do something to change the trajectory of where we're going. And so they brought in a bunch of experts who were skilled in promoting regions, recruiting companies, retaining companies, and in regional collaboration, and made a bunch of suggestions. And the biggest one was to form a group like ours that could promote the region, be apolitical, and could present and coordinate the best business propositions to the expressions of interest that we had had in the area. But we were kind of all fighting each other and providing different sets of information. And, it's a game of elimination. And if you don't have your act together and you can't provide companies what they're looking for, they'll look elsewhere. And so we were formed. We're now 95% privately funded, which is kind of an anomaly. Most places have much more public participation, but we have a very strong board. One of the strengths, actually, and one of the best viewed web pages on our site is the list of investors, and companies want to see that they're dealing with the real deal when it comes to the community, and they can see the broad support that we have. This has been a real challenge for us the last 3 months, in that because of that 95% funding to promote the region and coordinate activities and solve problems for companies investigating the area, all the companies that support us have been kind of creamed by what's going on. And so we've had to find ways to be more nimble and more efficient and cut back considerably. And now that things seem to be opening up, maybe we can get back to resuming what was a renaissance that was sustaining itself while a little shallow, was really kind of picking up the next wave, particularly in technology, always strong in manufacturing. And I think there'll be a lot of pent-up interest that we'll see very soon. And we know of several announcements that are coming as soon as we get fully opened.
Well, you know, I want to come back to that, because there are some exciting things on the horizon there. But it's this whole pandemic has thrown not just organizations like yours for a loop, and our whole community for that matter, but various key components in our community, which we have been investigating on this show over the last several weeks, including the United Way, Say Yes, which are great programs that are the underpinning, in my mind, of a lot of the, I hope anyway, means to correct some of the things that people are protesting today, which is also on everyone's mind. So we go from a pandemic to social unrest, and it seems to many like what's going to happen next, and how could things hit us harder than they've been hitting us already, and yet seemingly every day you wake up and there's something new. this must present an enormous challenge, because the companies that you're talking to, you're talking to them to expand or move their business to town here, provide the essential thing, I think, that any strong community needs, that does a lot to correct many injustices, and that's a good job. It's a place to go to work, to have a sense of personal worth. So as you approach this, Tom, and as you say, if you went back to March 15th, there were a lot of really, really good things on the agenda at Invest Buffalo Niagara. Fast forward a couple months, and we've got some catch-up to do, to play. But go back to right before all this hit. There were a couple things going on at Invest Buffalo Niagara that I think are important for our listeners to know, including the study that was underway to kind of investigate what makes us an attractive place. And that's Newmark, is that correct?
Newmark and Frank, right?
So to go into that a little bit, because I find that very interesting.
So what we were discovering in doing our work, and if you're in the industrial, in any industrial or manufacturing application in the region, you know that as soon as a good building comes on board, it's gobbled up. Had examples of 30,000 square foot buildings with some equipment for sale, receiving 10 offers in a couple of days. And you know that if you want to build something and it's of any size, you've got very limited options of shovel ready within a reasonable competitive amount of time to get a building through development review and get under construction. And you know, we have a challenge in that not all places have winter, so a lot of timing of construction has to happen before the ground freezes and a number of other factors. Well, what we were discovering and what we've talked about, I think, a couple times on the show in the last couple of years, is obviously a trend that was shrinking in available buildings and sites. And that's really, you can be a great place, you can have great water rates and available water and hydropower and workforce, but if a company can't find a place to actually go into business, they can't come to your community. And so we decided to bring in a third party to give us an objective analysis of our inventory in the 8-county area. And we were able to, we RFP'd it, and we were able to get Newmark, Knight & Frank, which is a premier site selector corporate real estate firm in the globe. And they came in and agreed to do the study. And so what we're hoping to accomplish, and the schedule, as you mentioned, is now a little later than when we had originally thought, but is to come up with 50 priority sites that are all in different stages of readiness, and a couple of challenging ones that have some balance across the region that will allow us to have sites that we can put into searches in either promoting our region or in the clusters that we know we're very competitive for attracting business interest, and have sites that are ready to go. And so this is a pretty ambitious project that we have. First, we want to identify the sites. We've been put off by having the teams actually come in and view each site. We've culled that from about 110 sites down to 50. And then what will be very important is looking at best practices from other regions, doing some competitive analysis with places like Columbus and Greenville, Spartanburg, and a number of other communities, and really coming up with best practices that will arm our IDAs, our municipal governments or state governments with the types of creative approaches to financing and getting these sites better prepared and more quickly to market than we have in the past.
You know, Tom, some of our listeners may be thinking this is totally illogical, because they drive around our community and they see, you know, the old industrial sites that, you know, may or may not be operating right now. Many are not operating. They drive out the thruway and they see vast amounts of land sitting there. They say, what do you mean there's no sites? How can this be? So how do you how do you respond to that? Because I know a lot of people say this to me. They say it seems like there's plenty of space for people to build a plant here in Western New York or to reoccupy one that exists.
Yeah, it's a conversation we actually have in the family, that kind of thing. So I'd invite the listeners, next time you go by any of these sites, just imagine what the previous application might have been, what might be in the ground, what type of ground that is. Could it sustain a heavy structure? How do you get out of the site? Will workers come to the site? Do you think you have adequate electric to the site? What's the water and wastewater situation at the site? And pretty soon you start to get a number of issues that maybe you never thought about by just looking at it and say, well, that seems like a big tract of land, or why can't we do something there? And, you know, the thing that's encouraging is that especially in the last 10 years, groups like BUDC and developers, local developers have become real experts in slogging through all the environmental and site readiness issues that many of our sites had based on our legacy industries that we've had here, and have actually brought a lot of these properties back to productive use. But if you look at a place like Lakeside Commerce Park, that took almost 9 years of remediation before we were able to bring the first group of parcels to make available for purchase or lease. So, you know, some of these issues are not easy. They're not easily seen by most of our residents, but they're huge issues for companies that are moving very fast in a global environment and want viable options in the shortest amount of time possible. And that's where it's not just Western New York, but it's a lot of places in the Northeast and the Midwest that have long histories and have real estate situations like we do here, where what is not obvious is the challenge with a lot of the geotechnical issues and actually infrastructure to the site to make them ready for what industry wants today.
You mentioned the cooperation that's really needed to take a site from what might appear to be developable land from its old history to something that could be used today. One of the great criticisms of our community over the years, as you know only too well, Tom, is that there's too many layers to go through, there's too many people to deal with, there's too much regulation, and it just makes it a daunting task to consider starting a project here. So how has your organization weaved through all that and made it easier for prospective user of some of the available sites here in town?
Well, we have a very talented, mission-driven staff, and we have throughout the years worked with all of our partners in utilities and government and IDAs and real estate and development and the list goes on. When we pursue a project, we're very honest with we don't overpromise. And most projects that come here, they understand what the opportunity is. Depending on what cluster they're in, there's ways to mitigate cost to keep us competitive, and then it's up to us to figure out how to bring the project to bear, to your point, as quickly as possible, which is very challenging. I know myself, having worked in other places in the country, what takes us months to do here can get done in days in other places. By the same token, if you go to another community and they'll tell you, well, you see all that acreage of trees right there, tomorrow that won't be there, and we'll put your site right there. I think you have to wonder, and some of our companies who have investigated those types of opportunities in other places have quickly realized that caring for your environment, you could argue that we overdo it here with regulations and costs, but whatever the appropriate level is important to the sustainability of your business as well as the community you're going to. And in some places, a lot of this is not properly observed. And so there's two sides to the story, but what we do is we pretty much have a checklist by industry that when we see what type of project the company's looking at, we get them a whole bunch of information that answers all their questions. And when it gets to real estate, it is a representation of the sites and the, depending on what their criteria is, in the geographic area that they're looking for that could fit their needs. It also has a representation, to the best of our knowledge, of what the challenges, if there are any, with each one of those sites. And it also is accompanied with, and here's how we will work through any of those issues. And then it's up, we're in a customer-driven business. And for years in this community, we didn't really acknowledge that. We kind of sold our wares, if you will, and we're not terribly interested in what companies are looking for. We were more interested in selling low-cost power or selling our sites or whatever. If you're interested in what the company is looking for and you're very attentive and you're looking to solve problems, they will work with you to the extent that they can. And so we try and solve all of the issues that we can in a reasonable fashion, but we also give them a realistic expectation of what it will take. And some of the ones that you've seen announced recently have gone through, Thinking Robot, which was announced for Lakeside Commerce Park, which is now going to another site. Well, along the way, they've managed to keep all their investors in the boat and faced a bunch of challenges on brownfield sites. But the tenets of why they're coming here in the first place have been held, and we are working with them to solve all their financing and brownfields and other infrastructure issues. And that's the difference in the approach today versus years ago that keeps us competitive for a lot of these projects.
We're going to have to go to a break, Tom, but when we come back, I want to talk about how you use the word we and how, if I were interested, how I would go about actually engaging with your organization. We'll be right back with more from our upstairs after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find not only a complete inventory of homes available all across upstate, but also you'll find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information on our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, just call 633-3700 and ask for details. And while you have somebody on the phone, ask them about that pre-purchase commitment. It's the best deal in town. No risk, no cost. Gets you a mortgage commitment that allows you to enter the market to buy your next home with cash. And if you've already been to a lender but you haven't yet closed on a deal, you might want to check out our Second Look program, which gives you the opportunity, I should say, to make sure that you're getting the best deal possible. We will make sure of that. That's why we call it the Second Look. We'll give you another look. It's just like going to the doctor and requesting a second opinion. This makes sure that the diagnosis, the prescription that you have for your financing is the right one. 633-3700. And if you want to just call and have any question relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center at 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your question right there on the phone or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the strongest guarantee in the marketplace, the seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA sales professional. And we're back into open houses, so look around this weekend. We've got virtual ones, we've got live ones, and you can always stop in either way and ask about that seller security plan, because that's your that's your underpinning when you go to sell your home, to know that you can go to the market effectively with a house that's sold, so that you don't have to buy contingent, which is a loser in today's market. Today, I'm live remote with the CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara, Mr. Tom Kacharski, and we've been talking about the challenges as well as the successes. We're going to get into some of the successes in the remainder of the show that Invest Buffalo Niagara has been engaged in, including beginning with what we talked about earlier, which is a study to make sure that we have easily identifiable sites that can be marketed effectively anywhere, so that we can be a competitive element in the nationwide economy. And that really is the name of the game, Tom, if you think about it. And that is, it's being competitive. And if you go back in time to prior to the creation of Invest Buffalo Niagara, then known as the BNE, as you mentioned earlier, we were very concerned in this community, not just with the losses that we'd had over the 70s and 80s and early 90s, but our present condition at that time, which was really not very competitive vis-a-vis other states. The low-tax states, the states where there was perhaps fewer layers of bureaucracy to deal with than we'd created here in New York State, seemed to be winners where we were not winning. So you came into this situation then, and really to kind of reposition our community. Take us back in time again, if you would, just to tell us how you took that set of conditions and got Western New York back on the radar screen for some of these companies that were then and maybe today looking.
Yeah, so I'm always careful to not say me, because there's a whole bunch of, the name of the game today is collaboration. So I would say we, because I'm sincere about that. We had to, as a private sector and the public sector, had to get together, put our swords down, and stop fighting with each other, stop suing for pirating a business. If you recall, in the late 90s and early 2000s, we were moving around deck chairs instead of, and some of the deck chairs were sliding off the ship, and we had to just kind of change the trajectory, as you mentioned in your question. So, and the best way to do this is we were blessed to have everybody putting their money where their mouth was, and we had significant resources for the first 5 years to really change things. And so one of the things we did early on was put together a toolkit, which was a consistent, updated, evergreen compendium of data, and we enhanced it with technology. And then we went to our 8 counties and started working with all of our individual economic development organizations and got everybody to start using it and communicating with one another so they could understand that fighting over business is not nearly as productive or fun as getting new business, expanding existing business, and everybody working together. And over time, just like anything else, that kind of took hold. And then it was, how were we presenting our community to the world? We had often not invested in creative creative marketing or being in places where business was gathering, where advisors were looking for information. And so we started with a really thoughtful approach based on a lot of the analysis that was done to form our organization, and started building on that. And that really, when you have good information and you have people working together and you have increased the odds of being able to land some companies, because you now, not instead of having select sites through traditional relationships, and you're excluding a whole bunch of the real estate that's out there that could accommodate some business interest, and you're not coordinated in the way that you're speaking back to these companies that are interested, or the ones that are here and would really like to stay here instead of being consolidated somewhere else, you can start to open up some opportunities. And then if you can actually deliver as a team, while it is a little bit more circuitous sometimes with some of the agencies and processes we have in place, you can get there, and we've demonstrated over the last 20 years as a community, we can get there. That's the way we approached it. And you know, there was, as you can imagine, when we first talked way back then, there was a lot of, you know, 4 Super Bowls, 2 cups, we can't do anything here, and, you know, let's just shut the lights off. And that was the hardest part, really, of getting everybody to actually believe again. And when you had meetings, when companies came in, to have the trust of all the organizations that hadn't been here for a couple of decades before that, and be able to work together and know that if you were in a part of the community and you didn't get that deal, that by all the work you're doing and prep you're doing and collaboration, you might get the next one. And over the last 20 years, that's kind of what has developed, which, you know, the pandemic has really caused us to, one of the things to bring it forward is that we'll make sure during this time we're talking to all of our partners. We're making sure everybody's involved in the study. We're making sure everybody's involved in the Be in Buffalo talent attraction repatriation effort. We launched back in September, and we're not going to right size our way to prosperity. We've got to bring a lot of those ex-Buffalonians back, because we have a lot of jobs being created that we don't have the people or the proper skill sets, and just take what we did way back then and just update it to where we can be competitive now, which because we have diversified our economy away from really just a heavy industry at the time and legacy of that, to we pretty much, our GDP pretty much looks like any other metro area, and that'll allow us in the future to be much more competitive and much more responsive to changes. And that's a good thing that we have accomplished. But the biggest thing was really getting everybody to believe and start to work as a team, and then putting in data and technology to help it.
I want to come back and ask you how we compare now in just a second. We do have a caller on the line. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Thank you. I guess I'm just curious why the goal would be to have 50 priority sites. What about the landlords and so forth who don't have one of the 50 sites? And why wouldn't the goal be rather to ease development throughout the whole region instead of perhaps narrowing the priority sites?
Interesting question. How do you select 50 sites, Tom? And then what do you do with the other sites, I guess, is kind of the question. The ones that already exist, landlords that have already made the investment.
Good question, Gustav. So like any of these things that I'm just touching on briefly in this hour here, there's a lot of thought and time and effort that went into this. So if you look at the landscape of where you can accommodate business interest in the sectors that we're targeting, and we're targeting those sectors based on the fact that we have things that are natural resources or assets in our community that appeal to those business clusters, you then look at what they're looking for, size of building, workforce availability to supply networks, existing infrastructure to carry trucks, access to, I mean, there's a whole litany of things. And so when you put that all together and graph it like we can with our GIS system, we were able to come up with 110 potential sites. And they started from, you know, just raw land with nothing around it to very close and only needs, you know, ingress and egress, or it needs this power upgraded or that kind of thing. And so the challenge here, this is already a very ambitious, expensive study that's over $300,000. As you start to expand that scope, the expense also goes up. And you then start to dilute what your real intention is, which is to find good sites that that you can get to market quickly. It just happened that we were able to find 48 or 50, whatever it is, that fit all of that criteria I just mentioned, and then some. As far as easing development standards and practices and regulations. That's not really our gig. There's plenty of other groups that work on business climate and regulations and that kind of thing. And so we're, given our mission, we're trying to be more tactical and know that we got momentum going. We got pent-up interest that'll get expressed as soon as we get fully back to work here, or it already is getting expressed in virtually, and have the sites that we can in the short run while we're working on some of these longer-term strategic issues.
Tom, we have to go to break right now. We'll be back with more with Tom Kucharski from the Invest Buffalo Niagara after these very important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the constantly updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the low rate and closing cost guarantee, the pre-purchase commitment, and even our second look program. Call them today, 633-3700. I'm live remote today with Tom Kucharski. Mr. Kucharski is the CEO, Invest Buffalo Niagara, the leading, I guess I would be, put it in a category, Tom, it's hard to do that, but I would describe the organization in some way, shape, or form as a strategic marketing effort that brings together the various resources needed to, I guess, to help industries hopefully locate here in Western New York. And before the break, you were talking about all the things that you've put together, including the dollars, the resources, the toolkit, working with the IDAs, a new way back when to present Western New York, and most recently the efforts to identify developable sites that can be utilized in a short order to accommodate the list of candidates that we're trying to attract to Western New York. So at this point in time, how would you say Western New York compares to the communities that I'm sure you compete against every day?
Yeah. So way back when, we identified 35, I think, or so, metropolitan areas that based on our existing industry and the ones that we thought we could attract that we kind of compare ourselves to. And at the time, it was interesting. You could actually see where Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse ranked, basically moved together as a threesome on this list. We have, in the last 20 years, kind of gone from the very bottom of that list to kind of in the middle. And whether it's sports or whatever, I kind of would like to be at the top. And that's what we strive for. But I think to answer your question, I think what we've done is we've really shored up our ability to compete given what we have to work with. And I don't mean that to be deriding. It's just that, you know, every part of the country and the globe has their own challenges, their own history, and, you know, what they can do to grow. In our community, I think, we had some good momentum going before the pandemic, and you could see it in, you know, some of the placemaking and some of the central business district, Main Street, medical campus, some of the good things going out in the suburbs, agribusiness out in our surrounding communities and financial services. And so we were kind of rounding out the economy and hit some good momentum, getting a lot of good press. But as we talked about, we were if we were a business, we were running out of product. And by that, some of our existing companies and those looking to come here were having a very difficult time identifying the talent that they're going to need to run their operation and keep their operation going. And or in companies that were looking to come here to actually start them up. And we were running out of places where we could actually put businesses. And those are two really fundamental things that, you know, all the other things that we talk about as far as business climate, regulation, time to market, supply chain, all those are important. But if you don't have people and you don't have sites, then you're really not in the elimination game. And so that's where we put a lot of effort into making sure that we will have a plan for years to come to sustain whatever this recovery is going to be coming out of it. And we're staying very flexible. We would normally adopt a budget. Our fiscal year starts July 1, and we're kind of staying very flexible. We could have a very robust pipeline of companies that have looked down and realized that they put all of their assets in some cases to attract millennials and young workers in very dense, very few big markets. And they may now, well, we already heard in over the last 3 months that they may be looking to diversify. We have done a really good job of putting our opportunity zones in strategic places around the region that are prime for development. So it's another vehicle that can help finance some deals that maybe are reasonably along and in, as far as affordable housing, technology, community based initiatives, those types of things that we were getting good progress on before the real throes of the pandemic hit. And a lot of the investors that we were talking to are now chasing around rent. And that if people understand as we in this next year go out and do virtual events to make the ex-Buffalonians and ex-Western New Yorkers that are living all around the world and maybe are worried about their future and worried about health and worried about their job, that they realize that what is going on around here and it is a great place and it's not what it was 20 years ago, they'd be interested in coming back because we're going to need to attract a number of them back to fill all the jobs that most of them should be moving forward as we recover. And then we'll see what happens as far as remote work and the gig economy and a number of things and how that affects some of our targets like financial services.
So you really cite two fundamental things that are the focus of your organization. One is talent attraction or reattraction in the case of kind of expats that are now someplace else. And that's under the heading of the Be in Buffalo Task Force. Tell us what's going on with that.
So we did a little bit of analysis and we brought in a consultant and we realized that a lot of other places around the country from Atlanta to Minneapolis to Boise to San Diego are doing this effort to keep college kids in their community and interest them in what's going on job-wise to bring back. It's not just Western New York. A lot of places have expats that are living elsewhere and maybe have some tugging on the heartstrings to come back for a variety of reasons. And we wanted to put together an organized effort that collaborates with the medical campus, the Manufacturers Council, a lot of the major businesses in town, the tech community, 43 North, go on and on and on. And that's really what's represented in the Be in Buffalo campaign. It's the best way to promote our region, according to the consultant we hired and the task force of many of the recruiters and human resource folks around the region, is to tell the story of Buffalo because it's a good one. And so if you go to our website, you'll see that that's what we do. We tell stories of folks who have come back, folks who have stayed here in different clusters, different jobs, different genders, different lifestyles, and how they're doing here. Some of our best advocates are people who have moved here because they realize what a great place it is. And as we go forward, family and health and the fact that we're a little bit more spread out, I like my elevator speech is we're the Midwest of the Northeast. It could play to our advantage going forward, but we got to keep a consistent effort and go to those markets where we know we can tell with our research where we have chronic needs as far as skill categories, whether it's certain type of programmers, certain types of engineers, welders, nurses, you just go on and on and on. And we can also find where those individuals that went to school here or are from here, where they are in the country. And that's where these events are going to be, knowing that we have the biggest chance and most likelihood of being able to attract some of these folks' interest because that's where they're living at.
So. Does the current unemployment mess that we've got across the whole country, does that help us ineffectively? Because people that might have been furloughed or laid off or maybe even terminated, young people in other cities that might be stuck in their apartment someplace in a large city, that the alternative of coming to Buffalo with the promise of a job might be, timing might be perfect. Could these bad circumstances in our world right now, could they actually play into our hand?
Well, I mean, as you could tell, that I'm always a positive guy, and I'm always silver lining, and so is our organization. And I think the what bears out what you just said is that in our recent social media and cost of living calculator added to the website and all the good stories that are on there, the number one area of the country as far as hitting the website and page views and time on the site is California. So that's a real interesting dichotomy when you think about it, that there are a lot of folks who are out of work and they're sitting in places where they're wondering how they're going to manage coming back to work and feel comfortable and their family and all of the issues involved in that. And, you know, suddenly their attention may turn to other markets if they're not from here, or back home if they were originally from here. I'm like, Buffalo's always got the great potential to come back, and it is coming back. And then it's got all these attributes that it seems like the future as far as living and working and health would seem to be what I'm looking for. I ought to check it out. And that seems to be what's happening. And you know, nothing is better once you get past that phase with an individual than being able to present, which is also on the website, a number of profiled jobs and easy entry into a search engine that will help match up your credentials with existing jobs that will be available here.
So if someone wanted to learn more about really the two fundamental things we've been discussing today, which is talent attraction, which you're touching on just now, and also earlier in the show, the whole issue of site availability and really the whole background efforts and foreground efforts of the Invest Buffalo Niagara organization, how would people learn more?
Well, the easiest way is to start with our website, which is www.buffaloniagara.org. And it's very navigable. It's intended to be a front-facing, easy-to-use portal to represent our community, but it also has a lot of links and summaries of initiatives that are going on. So that would be the easiest way to start. And then we welcome any of the listeners, welcome any comments, observations, assistance, ideas. There's no dumb idea when you're trying to come back. And right now we're the eighth most affected region in the country with job loss. But I think we'll also be one of the strongest coming back. And if anybody has an idea or an observation on anything that we have on there, please email us because we'd be interested in hearing about it.
And if they wanted to help in other ways, financially or even as a volunteer, is there a method through the website to do that as well?
So there is a number of opportunities. We go by the grace of our investors, which I mentioned are mostly private sector folks. And so that's on there is how you can participate. There is a Pitch Buffalo Niagara, which is become an ambassador for the community. One of the biggest things we've, I think, overcome is you had to play guard the flag when you had a prospect coming into town and hope they didn't interact with too many taxi cab drivers or counter hotel or just individuals in the community who couldn't have enough worse things to say about the community. Now it seems like everybody's pretty positive. Well, we want everybody to be an ambassador for what's going on here, because you never know who you're sitting next to on a plane or hopefully if we get back to those days. So there's tools on how to do that, how to incorporate some of the messages, the pictures, stories, anecdotes.
Tom, I've got to break in here because we're way over time. I want to thank you, Tom Kacharski, CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara, for joining me this morning. I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time with Renee Jones from M&T Bank. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.
Ready to recession-proof your career? Software developers and data scientists continue to be high-demand jobs, and starting salaries range around six figures. Galvanize can teach you the skills for either career in just 13 weeks. We're an industry-leading boot camp with over 24,000 alumni, and Galvanize graduates get more jobs as mid- to advanced-level developers than any other coding boot camp. If you want a stable career and an upgraded salary, visit galvanize.com to start learning.